Welcome to Torat Imech and Nachiomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Micha Horowitz. Today we will be studying Sefer Melachim Aleph, Parak Hei. This parak really describes the grandeur of King Shlomo's rulership and kingdom. It describes the great wealth of his household. It describes the great wisdom of King Shlomo, and it describes the beginning of the building project, which was so grand, of the materials necessary for the Beit HaMikdash. So there's really a lot of topics, a lot going on. Let's have an overview of the parak, an overview of some of the psukim, as well as, of course, a lesson that we will learn from this parak. So, parak hei pasuk aleph, Ushlomo haya moshel b'chol ha-mamlachos minanahar eretz plishtim v'ad gvul mitzrayim. King Shlomo was such a great ruler. He ruled over all the kingdoms, could you imagine, from the Euphrates River to the land of the plishtim v'ad gvul mitzrayim until the border of Egypt. Magishim mincha v'ovdim Shlomo kol yimei chayav. Imagine the people of this entire region brought tribute, mincha, presents, and they served Shlomo all the days of his life. It's amazing. And the Steinsaltz Nevi'im notes, not all of these nations were under Shlomo's direct rule, but they were subject to his authority, and they considered him the supreme king. So we see how very powerful and a man of renown he really was. Now the next psukim described, it's amazing, what were the provisions for each day in the palace of King Shlomo for his household. This is amazing. Listen to this, Pasuk Beis. Vayhi lechem Shlomo liyom echad. The provisions, the bread, literally, and the bread of Shlomo for one day was, meaning for his household, shloshim kor soles v'shushim kor kemach. 30 kor of high quality flour, 60 kor of regular flour. How much is a kor? Steinsaltz Nevi'im. A kor was approximately 220 liters. Some say about 360 liters per kor. He had 30 kor of fine soles, fine flour, and 60 kor of regular flour. Amazing. Not only that, what about the meat? Asara bakar briyim, ve'eshrim bakar ri'i, u'meyatzon. Unbelievable. 10 fattened oxen, 20 grazing oxen, and 100 sheep. This is per day. 10 fattened oxen, 20 grazing oxen, that's 30 oxen total, and 100 sheep. Not only that, levad, additionally, me'ayol, deer, utzvi, different kinds of deer, gazelle, deer, the yachmur, we read about that in Parsha Shmi, the kosher animals, ubarburim avusim, and fat and fowl. We say that in our Shabbos miros. Okay, barburim also. So you see how much food they had. Now, kihu roda b'chol evar nar, mitifsach, v'ad aza b'chol malche evar nar. It's telling you the entire region where he ruled, from the Euphrates River to Tifsach until Aza, on all the kings of the other side of the river. V'shalom hayalo mikol avarav misaviv. And he had peace, imagine, on all sides, all around. Pasuk hei, v'yeshev Yehuda v'yisrael levetach. What a beautiful pasuk. Listen to this pasuk. How passionately, how heartbreakingly, how hopefully, how faithfully we wait for this day. Vayeshev Yehuda v'Yisrael levetach. And Yehuda and Israel, the regions of Yehuda and Yisrael, dwelled in security. Ish tachas gafno, each man sat under his vine. V'tachas te'inaso, and under his fig tree. Midan, in the north, v'ad be'er shava, kol yemei Shlomo. Ah, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let us see this beautiful pasuk come to fruition in our lifetime, in our land, in our home, when Yehuda and Israel will dwell with betach, bitachon, security, with shalom, and will sit under the vine, under the te'ina tree, from the north to the south, not running from missiles, not worried about world opinion, not, I don't know, just in peace and tranquility and security, Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, the Torah, the Nevi'im now talks about his horse stables. So now that we know how vast his kingdom was and how widely he was respected and how much was necessary to provide for his household every day. Now it describes what were his horse stables, his riders, his horsemen like. Listen to this, Pasuk Vav. Vayhi l'Shlomo arba'im alef uros susim l'merkavo. King Shlomo had 40,000 horses stables for his chariots. Ushneim Asar Elav Prashim and 12,000 riders. The Chilkulu Hanitzavim Eiles Amelk Shlomo VeEskala Karev Al Shochah Es Shochan Amelk Shlomo Ishchad Sho Lo Ya'adu Davar. This is referring back to the previous parak. Remember, in the previous parak, we learned about the governors over the districts who had to provide for King Shlomo's household every month. So this tells us that these officials provided for King Shlomo. Everyone close to his table, every district. Overseer for every month, and nothing was ever lacking. Not only that, pasuch es v'hasaorim v'hateven l'susim v'larechash. There was enough barley and straw for the horses and the steeds. Yavo alamakom esher yasham ish kemishpato. They were brought to the place where they were, each official according to his assignment. So really, the beginning of this parak is telling us about the incredible and vast wealth, both in his household, in the provisions, in the extent of his kingdom, in the wealth that he had under King Shlomo. Now, Pasuk Tes through Pasuk Yedaleh describes his great wisdom. Pasuk Tes, Vayiten Elokim Chachma l'Shlomo, Utavuno Harbe Me'ot. And Elokim granted wisdom to Shlomo, and understanding and discernment very much. V'rochav Lev, and he had a broad heart. Kachal Asher Asfas Hayom, like the sand which is on the shore of the sea. Vaterev Chachma Shlomo Mechachmas Kol B'nei Kedem. How wise was he? The wisdom of King Solomon was increased, was even greater than the wisdom of all the Bnei Kedem, the Easterners, and all the wisdom of Egypt. We know that Egypt was a great superpower. Egypt, I mean, when you look at the pyramids, it's one of the wonders of the world. When you read the hieroglyphics, not that we read them, but you can read accounts of the hieroglyphics and mummies in the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto. There's a mummy, like a mummish, an actual mummy. The Egyptian hall in the Royal Ontario Museum is totally fascinating. These things have survived for thousands and thousands of years. They were so advanced militarily, medically, scientifically. King Shlomo was wiser than anybody. And that's what the next pasuk says. Yirala vayachkom mikol adam. He was smarter than any other man. Me Eitan HaEzrachi. From someone named Eitan HaEzrachi. I'll tell you, that reminds me of Avram Avinu. The Rambam calls Avram Avinu Eitan Zeh. Kevan Shagadal Eitan Zeh. When this strong one grew up, perhaps this is a reference to Shlomo was even wiser than the first father of the Umi Yisraeli. The Heman, the Chalkol, the Darda, Bnei Machol, the sons of Machol, who were very, very wise. King Shlomo was even wiser than them. His name was one of renown. Everybody knew about him, all the nations all around. Pasuk Yedbeis, Vayidaber Shloshas Alaf Imashal. Shlomo created 3,000 proverbs. Of course, Shlomo wrote 3 Sifrei Tanakh, Shirei Shirim in his youth, Mishlei in his middle age, Kohelet in his old age. Mishlei is proverbs. Here we're told he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Not all of them have survived because Mishlei does not contain 3,000 proverbs. Vayhi Shiro Chamisha Ve'Elaf. Not only that, he also wrote songs. 1,005 songs. Not only that, Vayidaber al ha'etzim min ha'eres asher balavonan va'ad ha'ezov asher yotzei bakir Vayidaber al ha'behema va'al ha'ov al ha'ramas va'al dagim. He knew how to speak the language of nature. He knew the language of the trees, from the strong cedar tree that is in the Levonan to the small hyssop that comes out of the wall. And he spoke to the animals and the birds and the creeping things and the fish. Pasuk Yedaled va'yivol mikol ha'amim. People came from all the nations to hear the great wisdom of Shlomo. From all the kings of the earth, Asher Shamu as Chachmaso, who heard his wisdom. I want to quote for you from Medrash Shir Hashirim Rabbah, Parsha Aleph, Siman Tes. The Medrash here speaks about the vast wisdom, the great wisdom of King Shlomo. It ties into what we just learned, because we just learned that not only was he smarter than all of the ancient, well, they weren't ancient at the time, than the other civilizations of the time. Not only was he smarter, perhaps, Eitan HaEzrachi, than Avraham Avinu and all the wise men of that time. Not only did everybody know of King Shlomo, but he wrote 3,000 parables. He had more than 1,000 songs, but he could speak the language of nature. The strong Erez tree in the Levonan, the small hyssop bundle that comes out of the well, animals, birds, creeping things and fish. And therefore, people came from all over the world. Dignitaries from every kingdom came to hear the wisdom of King Solomon. Listen to this Medrash, Shir Shir Maba, Parash Aleph Siman Tas. The Medrash quotes a pasuk that we learned in Parag Gimel. Okay? The Medrash begins with Kach Begivo Nira Hashem El Shlomo B'Chalom Halayla V'Yomer Elokim Sh'al Ma'aytenach. Remember, we learned this in Pasuk Gimel. When Shlomo was in Givon to bring Karbanos on the big Bama there, Hashem appeared to him in a night dream, and Elokim said, "Ask, what can I give you?" Amar Shlomo. Shlomo said, continues the Medrash, "Im Eshal Kasef Vizav Avanim Tovus Margulios. Who knows any? If I ask for silver and gold and precious gems and pearls, He, God, will give it to me. Elahar." I will not ask for those gashmiistic physical wealth things. I will ask for wisdom, and everything else is included in wisdom. Wisdom includes acquiring everything else. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says, v'nasatal avdecha leiv shomeya. Shlomo says to Hashem, you should give your servant a leiv shomeya, understanding heart, heart that hears. Amar lo Kosh Baruch Hu. Kosh Baruch Hu said, Shlomo, chachma sha'altu lecha. Kosh Baruch Hu says, Shlomo, you requested wisdom for yourself. Velo sha'altu osher unichasim v'nefesh oivecha. You did not request wealth. You did not request possessions. You did not request the life of your enemies. Chayecha, I swear by your life. Kaviyacha, Hashem takes an oath. Ha'chachma v'hamada nasunach. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. V'ayadei kein. And through that wisdom and knowledge, osher unichasim eteinach, I will also give you riches and possessions, because when one is wise, they're able to acquire many things in this world. Miyad, immediately, vayikat Shlomo, v'hinei chalom. Shlomo woke up, behold, there was a dream. We learned this in Pasuk Gimel, in Parag Gimel. But now we're learning the Medrash that ties into Shlomo's request for wisdom, so I may bring it to you on this parak. Listen, how great was his wisdom. The Medrash continues, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Chalom Haya Omer Alkana. Rabbi Yitzchak says, the dream came true, it stood upon its base, i.e. was fulfilled. Ah, Chamor Noheik, V'hu Yodei Amar Noheik. When a donkey would bray, Shlomo knew what it meant when it brayed. Tzipor mitzotze, v'hu haya yodea ma mitzotze. A bird would chirp, and he knew what the chirping of the bird meant. Miyad, therefore, vayavo Yerushalayim, vayamad lefnei Aron bris Hashem, vayal olos vayashlam, vayas mishnah lechavadav. Remember, after he is granted wisdom, he goes back to Jerusalem. Everybody comes. They stand before the Ark of the Covenant of God. He offers korbanos, and they do a whole mishnah. But what is the Medrash teaching us? A donkey would bray, chamor noheik, v'hu yodea ma noheik. He knew, he understood the language of the animals. Tzipor mitzotze, v'hu yohaya yodea ma mitzotze. A bird would chirp. He knew what the chirping meant. And therefore, he went to Jerusalem, and he brought back from Givon, and he brought olos and shlamim and a big party. Interestingly, the Medrash continues. Amar Rabbi Elazar mikan sheosim suuda legamra shel Torah. Rabbi Elazar says, from here we learn that you make a suuda, like a suudas hoda, a suudas mitzvah, a suudas simcha, legamra shel Torah, when you finish the Torah. That's what the Medrash concludes with. After telling us he asked for wisdom, God said, "You asked for wisdom, you'll get everything else as well." Shlomo understood the language of the animals. Of the birds, he went to do a suda soda and a mishta for all of his servants and the people. And then Rabbi Lazar learns from here, mikan sheosin suuda legamra shel Torah. From here we learn something. What do we learn? When one make completes Torah, you make a feast. What Torah did he complete? Because he understood the donkeys and the birds, it means he completed Torah. So the Matnus Kahuna on the Medrash says, the gamra shel Torah, shehu gamar kol haTorah b'matnas haChachma. Because he was granted this extreme present, this unbelievable divine gift of extreme wisdom, shehu gamar kol haTorah b'matnas haChachma. He was able to finish learning through the entire Torah with his gift of wisdom. So we see how great Shlomo HaMelech was. And I think that there's a beautiful Mr. Haskell from here as well. I don't know that we can understand the, they call people horse whisperers or dog whisperers. I don't know. And it shows us that all of creation has a language. What is the language? The language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he created this world with. And everything has meaning, and everything has intent, and everything has purpose, and everything serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its own way. Yes, a donkey serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chamor, chemir, material. It is meant to transport material. Avram Avinu took his chamor when he went to the Akedah. Moshe rode al ha-chamor when he left Midian to go back to Egypt. Birds sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haven't we all, sometimes I sit at the Kotel, And I'm zochet to be there. And I see the birds in the wall, on the floor, right in front of the kotel. And I think to myself, these birds are so fortunate. They get to live at the Kotel Ma'aravi, the place that we can go to that is closest to where the Shechina was Shora, Bezman Shebeit HaMikdash Hayakayim. And it teaches us that every aspect in creation has a song it sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And someone who is attuned, someone who listens, Lev Shomea, can hear the song of creation and can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu through creation. Marbu Masech Hashem Kulam Bechach Masisa Malaretz Kinenecha. Who said those words? David HaMelech, Shlomo's father. Where? Kapitel Kuf Dalet of Tehillim. Marbu Masech Hashem Kulam Bechach. Hashem has done everything with wisdom, and we should learn from here that it's true. We don't understand the language of the donkeys and the birds, maybe not. But we can appreciate that we learn to see a Kosh Baruch Hu through Teva. The Beizav Lev teaches that the word Hateva, the nature, in other words, the natural word, Hateva, is Elokim with a Hey. Aleph, then Lamed, then Hey, then Yud, then Mem. If you do the Gematria, they both equal 86. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stamp is in creation. Hateva, the natural world, has a mark of Elokim with a Hey. Shem Hashem. And that's why in Perak Aleph, Maisa Bereshis of Chumash, the only name used is Shem Elokim. No other name of Hashem. No Shem Avaya, no Adon Olam, no Amalkum. The only name that's used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the creation is Shem Elokim, because Hashem wants us to see his stamp in nature. Shlomo, of course, had an elevated level of Chachma. The donkey brayed, he knew what it was saying. The bird stripped, he knew. Kings came from all over the world, we just learned. Whatever region was developed at that time, that's how smart he was. But the koach is to see a Kosh Baruch Hu nature, not just to look at a tev and say, oh, the sun rises. No, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivom Mihulo Shem Hashem. From the time the sun rises until it sets, we have to praise the name of God, and we have to recognize a Kosh Baruch Hu nature. And this is something we can all do, even if we do not understand the language of the animals and the language of the birds. Certainly we can understand and appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator, the sustainer, and the provider of all. What is the end of the parak about? That's really the lesson I wanted to bring up from today. What's the end of the parak about? From Pasuk Tesvav through Pasuk Lamed Beis, we learn about King Shlomo starting to get materials to build the Beit HaMikdash. He sends a messenger to Hiram, the king of Tyre. And he knows that they have very good wood. They have cedar trees up there. And he wants cedar trees from the Levonan in order to help build the Beit HaMikdash. Hiram hears the words of King Shlomo. Blessed is God who has given David a wise son as upon this day. And they make an agreement. And Shlomo is going to be able to get the cedar wood from the north. King Shlomo pays Hiram in terms of wheat and virgin olive oil every year to be able to get the materials that he needs. And we're told that Hashem gave wisdom to Shlomo. There was peace and a covenant between King Hiram of Tzur and Shlomo. And how is Shlomo going to get all this material back? So he raises a tax from Israel, but not a monetary tax, a draft. 30,000 men to go up to the Levonan to assist Hiram in choosing the wood. 10,000 men a month, 10,000 men a month in shift. 1 month they would be in the Levonan, 2 months they would be at home, and this way he would have enough manpower to help Hiram with the trees. Not only that, what about all the stones? We have seen the stones and the excavations under the Kotel. We've seen the massive stones. King Shlomo had 70,000 porters. Did you hear? 70,000 porters and 80,000 quarrymen. I'm in Pasuk Chavtes. Vayihi Shlomo shivim elav nosei sabal ushmonim elav chotzev bahar. Oh my gosh, 80,000 men who quarried the stones from the mountain, 70,000 men who were porters. There was also chief officers in charge of all these people, 3,300 governors over the people performing the labor. They were getting the wood from the north. They were hewing the stones. And finally, the last Pasuk of our parak, vayifsulu bnei Shlomo bnei Hiram v'hagvilim vayachinu ha'etzim v'ha'avanim livnos habayis. And the builders of King Shlomo and Hiram's builders and the Gevilim, what were they doing? They shaped the stones, they prepared the wood and the stones to build the Beit HaMikdash. Who were the Gevilim? Gaval was a city and kingdom in northern Lebanon, approximately 40 kilometers north of Beirut. It was a major port which served for commerce in cedar trees. It was famous for its artisans. The name Gaval appears in archaeological findings. So we end the parak being told that all the materials are now being collected. Many of the materials are being hewn and cut down and shipped and collected in order to build the Beit HaMikdash. Last words of the parak, livnot habayit. Thank you so much, everybody, for studying together. I wish you a wonderful day. Kol tov and Mesiras Tovas to all.
Our learning is dedicated anonymously as a schus for our Torah leaders across the world. May Hashem grant them the koach and wisdom to lead Klal Yisrael and bring us closer to Hashem and the coming of Mashiach b'mehira b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you so much for learning with me. I look forward to continuing tomorrow, Bezor Hashem.